the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, April the 12th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Speaker Ryan headed for the exit. Also on the rundown from California, almost 400 safety violations in offshore oil facilities since 2015. We examine the stakes in Medicaid work requirements and a proposal to better prepare 911 dispatchers for guiding CPR. Topping our news, Speaker Paul Ryan told House Republicans Wednesday he will not run for re-election in November. Axios reporting House Republicans were already in a tough spot for the midterms with many endangered members and a good chance that Democrats could win the majority. They quote a Republican insider who says this is a titanic shift. This is going to make every Republican donor believe the House can't be held. Axios says the two most likely to replace Ryan are Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise. Scalise has said he won't run against McCarthy. Offshore oil operations in southern and central California have racked up almost 400 violations over the past 3 years. Suzanne Potter has been looking into an examination of public records done by the Center for Biological Diversity.
The group's research showed that regulators found major corrosion on multiple aging offshore drilling platforms, many of which date to the 1960s. Records also show that four offshore drilling islands co-owned by the city of Long Beach have a number of missing or failed well integrity tests. Steve Jones with the Center for Biological Diversity says the operators need to make repairs to avert a catastrophic blowout.
And we do think that there's a criminal neglect of public safety going on in the offshore drilling system in state waters right now.
A spokesman for the State Division of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources says the wellhead corrosion issues have been resolved at Platform Eva off of Huntington Beach and Platform Esther off of Seal Beach, and notes that stepped-up enforcement led to the discovery of the violations. But the agency is still working to verify that mechanical integrity tests have been completed and passed at the offshore islands in Long Beach. A spokeswoman for California Resources Corporation, which co-owns those facilities, says the company believes it is in compliance.
The safety violations in the report are all in state waters and not related to oil platforms in federal waters off the coast of California. Environmental regulators are racing to find an even balance in the ongoing battle over the heights of flood control levees. We get more from Tramell Gomes.
The Army Corps of Engineers has figured out what locals have long suspected. When one town tries to protect itself against flooding, the problem gets worse for its neighbors. Jonathan Remo is an associate professor of geography at Southern Illinois University's Carbondale campus. He says the levee wars have been going on for some time in places such as Pike County, but now the Army Corps has data to support those claims.
It's become an issue. So what this does, when you increase your levee height in one place, it pushes that water that would normally overtop that levee into someone else's area.
A recent report from ProPublica found some districts on the opposite side of the Mississippi River are overbuilding levees against regulations, resulting in farms being flooded in Missouri. While some say simply fixing existing structures will help ease flood risks, research shows the problems today are a result of human engineering of the river.
Despite having jobs, Mary Sherman tells us that some Ohioans could lose health care coverage if the state implements a Medicaid work requirement.
The Kasich administration plans to ask for federal approval to add job requirements for able-bodied adults covered through the state's Medicaid expansion. But the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities examined the impact of a similar initiative in Kentucky and found almost half of low-income workers who could be affected by Medicaid work requirements would risk losing coverage at least 1 month out of the year. Study co-author Aviva Arendine thinks supporters of the proposal don't understand the conditions faced by low-wage workers.
It is simply not the case that people who want to and are trying to can necessarily find stable jobs at regular hours. Instead, most Medicaid enrollees work in industries where both employment and hours are volatile.
She cites industries like food service, construction, retail, and home health care. The report also found the red tape involved in reporting compliance could even cause some enrollees who meet the work requirement to also lose medical coverage. Supporters have said the goal is to bring a measure of personal responsibility to the Medicaid program with fair and reasonable work requirements. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
According to state estimates, about 36,000 Ohioans risk losing health coverage under the proposal, which is about 5% of those who gain coverage through the Medicaid expansion. And finally, Elizabeth Brown reports almost 90% of Americans believe they can get instructions on how to perform CPR if needed when they call 911. The reality is only between 50 and 60% of dispatchers are trained to give those instructions.
The American Heart Association is backing legislation to require that dispatchers be trained to provide CPR instructions or be able to quickly transfer calls to someone who can. Justin Bell with the American Heart Association says over-the-phone instruction is vital, even if the caller already knows what they're doing.
The reassurance on the phone of the dispatcher to say, it's okay if you hear cracking, it's okay if you break a rib, you need to push hard enough to make sure to move the blood. We've had people say that without that reassurance, they don't know that they would have kept doing it.
He says all 50 states are considering similar legislation.
The American Heart Association says about 350,000 cardiac arrests happen outside of a hospital every year. In almost every case, someone calls 911. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.